Good morning, everybody, and as always, welcome to our shiur. Today's shiur is on a topic which comes up in yesterday's parsha, and it also has come up recently in my personal life. And that is as follows. As far as my personal life is concerned, so since the last time we met, Baruch Hashem, my son became a chassan. And that's exactly the response that I wanted. Mazel tov. Okay, because of the fact that the question is, when you're saying mazel tov, what do those words mean? Those words literally translate, you have good luck, a good mazel. So what is that supposed to mean? Is there such a thing that there is mazel, that as if to say that the actions of the world are governed by some sort of mazel? So that's what I wanted to talk about, but it also ties into yesterday's parsha, because we find very interestingly by the makas which began in yesterday's parsha. So you had the maka of Tzvardeya, which wreaked havoc all over Mitzrayim, and it got to the point that Paro came to Moshe and said that I'd like this to stop, obviously. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayomer Moshe l'Paro, hispoer olai." He said, "Glorify yourself over me," meaning I'll show you that I could stop this anytime. L'mosai atir l'cho v'lavadecho l'amcho l'hachris hatzfardim. When exactly? Just tell me, when would you like me to stop this? Tell me when you want this makkah to stop, and I will stop it just at that time, and that'll show who's boss. Okay, so interestingly enough, now you have to picture that here you have the makas going on. The mak of Tzvardeya was a disaster, and like all the others, and you would assume that given such an offer, that Moshe comes to Paro and says, "Tell me when you want it to stop." So Paro should say, "Stop it now." That's what you would expect. But the pasuk says very oddly, "Vayomer l'machar." So Paro said, "Stop it tomorrow." What do you mean? And now now you're okay with it? In other words, now it's not a problem. As long as you can stop it tomorrow, what's that supposed to mean? So the Ibn Ezra here says, quotes from the Chazal, very interesting thing. It's not on the sheet, I apologize. The Ibn Ezra says, "Arim Shmuel ben Chofni, ein minag adam levakesh, rak sheyosar amakum imenum yad." It's not normal that a person should say such a thing. That Paro comes and says, "Stop it tomorrow. Stop it now." So he says, "V'choshev Paro," that Paro thought, "Ki ma'reches kochvei hashamayim hevia hatzvardim al Mitzrayim." Because Paro thought that the reason why this makkah took place was because of the arrangement of the stars. It had something to do with the arrangement of the stars. U'moshe ha'yodeyaz, and Moshe knew this. V'choshev Paro, ki ato higia eis sur hatzvardim. So he said that the reason why Paro said to stop it tomorrow was because of the fact that Paro was under the impression that the makkah was supposed to stop now. In other words, Paro, through his vision of the stars, through his interpretation of the stars, was under the impression that this makkah was going to stop now. So therefore, Al-Kain Niso, so therefore he said to Moshe, so Paro said, "Okay, stop it tomorrow. Stop it tomorrow. I mean, let it go, let it keep going now, and stop it tomorrow." Not because of the fact that he didn't care, but because of the fact that in Paro's belief, this had nothing to do with Hashem, this had nothing to do with a special nace that was happening on behalf of the Klal Yisrael, but rather this was due to the arrangement of the stars, that the nature of the situation dictated that this was going to happen. So therefore, Paro said, "Stop it, L'macher. Stop it tomorrow. Let's see. Let's see if you could do it. Let's see." It was a test of Moshe Rabbeinu, so says Ibn Ezra. So this brings us to the topic of today's shiur, which is the role of astrology in Judaism and in halacha. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing? I happen to have a niece who just recently also got engaged. Okay, you know, I'm saying Mazel tov again. Okay, and she actually got engaged to a fellow from, I believe, a Hasidic background. And when they were discussing when the wedding should be, so they came to the decision that the wedding had to be at the beginning of the month, the beginning of the Hebrew month. There had to be b'miluy halavana. It had to be only the days when the size of the moon is getting larger. Once you get past the point, once you get past the middle of the month and the moon is going down in size, so it's considered not a good mazel to do that. So that's what people hope. So the question is, my high, is this something that's acceptable? Is this something that we should follow? How do we make sense out of this? Now, we've spoken in the past, you know, the Torah speaks there, Yisurim in the Torah, prohibitions in the Torah against superstition. Against superstition, and that is that the Torah says that a person should not be a ma'onen, a menachesh, or different things. We spoke about that you're not allowed, a person should, you know, the goyish things, that you see a black cat, means that bad things are going to happen. It's usur for a person to believe that. You're not allowed to believe that. There are certain things which we have, which are al yedei segula. There are certain things that we hold, that we have a tradition that doing this is supposed to be a good sign. Like most notably, that we have on Rosh Hashanah, on the night of Rosh Hashanah. So the minhag is that we eat the various foods, that eat the head of a lamb and the fish and all kinds of things, pomegranate. So those things, you'll say, so what do you mean? That's also superstition. So those things are found in the Gemara. In other words, we find there is such a concept that there are certain things that are considered segula, but the things that are considered a segula have to be the mesorah. So there has to be a tradition. We can't make up our own. We can't, you know, it's very popular today. People go to the Kevah Rochel and they sit outside and they give you the red strings. So there are those who obviously are very much in favor of it, and you know, everybody likes to wear it when they come back. But there were those gedolim who were not in favor of it. Most notably, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. They say that one time one of his grandchildren went on a school trip to the Kevah Rochel and came back wearing one of those strings. And he said immediately, "But take it off. You can't do that." So he said, "Why?" He said, "Because there's no tradition. There's no tradition for this. There has to be a mesorah. You can't just stand." You know, people think that this is a nice thing to do. So maybe there is a tradition, but you have to investigate it. But without such mesorah, without some sort of tradition like that, we generally speaking do not look favorably upon these types of things. And we generally say that this is not the mishigas, right? So where exactly does this fit in? Where is there a place for astrology in the Torah or not? Is there a place in Yiddishkeit for this or not? So we have, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara says in, let's see here, on Masechet Shabbos, by the way, was this announced? Oh, I was left for me to know. Okay, I apologize. Today's share was Echanishma Svega Bas Elio, which is Eli Berman's mother, whose yard site is today. I'm sorry, I thought it was announced before I started. Okay, the Shom should have an aliyah. Anyway, we find the Gemara tells us in on Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amin Aleph. So we have here a famous machlokas in the Gemara, which is people quote from time to time. And the Gemara starts like this. The Gemara begins, it's a whole very interesting, it's almost the end of the Masech, the Shabbos. And the Gemara has discussions of people, Amorim, who were saying that they were born under different signs. They were born under different signs, and therefore, that explains certain behaviors. That explains certain behaviors. So, for example, okay, we're towards the bottom of the bottom third of the page. Okay, so the Gemara gives an example that. Omer of Nachman by Yitzchak, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, Haiman de Bemadim, that a person who's born during the hour of Mars, Yehe Gavra Ashid Dama, is going to be a person who spills blood. In other words, there's a whole list of statements here in the Gemara, a person who's born under this sign, a person who's born on that sign, different behaviors that are attributed to that person. Okay, so the Gemara says that, so it all comes to a head is as follows. It all comes to a head where the Gemara says, let's see, it's ten lines from the bottom. Itmar, 9 lines from the bottom. In the middle of the line, the Gemara says, Itmar, Rabbi Chanina Omer, Mazel Machkim, Mazel Mashir, V'yesh Mazel Yisroel. Rabbi Chanina said that there's such a thing as mazel, and mazel determines whether a person is going to be a chacham. Mazel determines whether a person is going to be wealthy. V'yesh Mazel Yisroel. And there is mazel. The mazel affects Jews. Now, what does this mean? So what we have to understand is like this. This does not mean, God forbid, that there is some force in the world other than God that controls what's going to happen. Right? That's kfir. We can never say that. But rather, what is being suggested here is that the way Hashem runs the world, there's a certain nature that Hashem runs the world with. And that nature, the way it's like programmed, like you would say today, the way you program a computer, the way Hashem programmed it into the world is through the arrangement of the stars. That the stars were, that's somehow the hashpah, the influence of the way the stars are arranged affects what's going to happen in the world. That's all coming min hashamayim. That's not haphazard. It's not just because of the fact that, well, the person was born at this moment and therefore he's going to be that way. No, Hashem decreed that he should be born at that moment and therefore be that way. But the way that it comes, it plays out in nature is through the arrangement of the stars. That's what they're saying over here, right? That's what the Gemara is saying. That mazel mashir, mazel machkem. This has an impact. This, by the way, the worship of Avodah Zarah, so is called in the Gemara. The Goyim, who idol worshippers, are called in the Gemara Avodas Kochavim, right? Ovde Kochavim, those who worship the stars. So why did they worship the stars? What's the opposite of worshiping the stars? Because for this reason, because of the fact that they believed that they had also this tradition that somehow the stars impacted on the world, except that in their view, that was as far as it went. There was no God behind it who was causing this to happen, but rather it was the stars themselves. So therefore, this was the origin of Avodas Kochavim. Okay, so we say, no, that's not true, that this is the way Hashem, according to this opinion of Rabbi Chanina, this is the way Hashem runs the world. Hashem runs the world in this manner, but there is truth to this. There is truth to this. So the Gemara says, and he says, V'yesh mazel Yisrael, and it affects Jews as well. It affects Jews as well. So says Rabbi Chanina. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, this is a famous statement in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein mazel Yisrael, that there is no mazel that affects the Klal Yisrael. There is no mazel. Now, what does that mean? So, without looking further, you would say what that means is that, nah, the Klal Yisrael is above all this. But it's not totally accurate that that's what it means, because if you look at Rashi on the second line from the bottom, Rashi says, Ein mazel Yisrael, what that means is, the al yidei tfila uschus mishtana mazel l'tova, that through tfila and through schusim, a mazel could be changed. In other words, it doesn't mean that it has absolutely no impact on Klal Yisrael, because that's not so. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that also this is the way Hashem runs the world. Hashem runs the world somehow through the way the world is programmed, the nature of the world is programmed is through the stars, and therefore that affects Klal Yisrael too. The only difference is that in his opinion, Ein mazel Yisrael means it could be changed. It could be changed. The person shouldn't say, oh, forget it, it's hopeless. Okay. In other words, let's say you had a person who was a true astrologer. Okay, not like today when you pick up the newspaper and you read this Narshkeit that they write where, you know, it's all the same. You know, you're going to meet a nice person if you were born under the sign of, you know, Aries or whatever. You know, today you're going to stub your toe. You know, so these are things which are true about all people every single day. It's all nonsense. So this is nothing, right? Because today nobody really knows from this anymore. But there were times in the world where people put emphasis on this. And therefore, I'm sorry?
Hitler believed in it.
There were people that believed it. And therefore, these people would go ahead and would, you know, they would study the stars. And sometimes would come to the realization, just like Paro. That was what Paro did. Paro said, it seems to me that this Maka of Tzvardea is supposed to stop today. So let's see you make it stop tomorrow. Right, that's what he said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, so this is the idea. So when Rabbi Yochanan says "Ein Mazel Yisrael," what he means is that there's no definitive mazel. It's not the mazel is not the last word. It could be changed. A person could be. It could be that it's supposed to be that way, but a person's tefillah could change it. Right, the Gemara says, for example, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara asks that if everything is decreed on Rosh Hashanah, so what are we daven for? Why are we just daven Shacharis? For what reason? It was all decreed on Rosh Hashanah what's supposed to happen, so what could you do about it? So the Gemara says, Yofa tza'aka b'chol eis. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that the tefillah is an extraordinary power, that davening could change anything. Davening could change anything. This is one of the, you know, today there's a tremendous emphasis that's put on tefillah and stop the talking in the shuls, this whole campaign. Yeah. You know, we don't appreciate what it means to tefillah because we're so used to doing it that you just take it for granted and it's not such a big deal and sometimes it could be a burden, whatever it is. But the power of davening is that, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. In other words, it could be, it's taka in the mazel. It's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be, it's decreed, it's supposed to be this way. But a person will daven, he could change it. If he daven, he could change it. That's an extraordinary power of tefillah. So anyway, this is what Rabbi Yochanan says. How does he know this? So the Gemara says, V'oz Rabbi Yochanan tamei, dam Rabbi Yochanan, minayin shein mazul Yisrael, shenemar koam Hashem, el derech ha-goyim al tilmedu, Hashem said, do not learn from the ways of the goyim, do not go by them. Umei osos hashamayim al techatu. Don't be afraid of the signs of the heavens. Ki echatu agoyim ehema. Because the goyim are afraid of them. In other words, but you should not be afraid of them. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Heim yechatu v'lo Yisrael. That the goyim have to fear it. In other words, the goyim are correct for fearing this arrangement of the stars. But not Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is not that way. Okay, that's what, because Ein Mazel Yisrael. So says Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara proceeds to say, Vaf Rav Sov Ein Mazel Yisrael. Rav also held that. Dom Rav Yudom, Rav Minayin Shein Mazel Yisrael. How do we know this? Shenemar Vayotze Oso Achutza. Right, because we have in Pashas Lech Lecha, by the Bris Vein Abisarim, so Hashem came to Avraham Avinu and promised him he was going to have a son. So prior to that, in the Pesukim prior to that, so Avram said that, well, I have no child, right? Ben Meshek Beisi Yerushalsi, my Eliezer is going to inherit me, I have no child. So Hashem came to him, so Hashem took him outside, right? So the Gemara says, Amar Avram ufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ben Beisi Yerushalsi, right? A member of my household, not my own child, is going to inherit me because I have no child. Hashem said, no, he's not the one that's going to inherit you. You're going to have a son who's going to inherit you. So the Gemara says, two lines from the bottom. So he said, Avram said to Hashem, he said, it can't be, because I looked in the stars, and I see that based on the configuration of the stars that I was born under, I cannot have a child. I can't have a child. So you're telling me that how could it be? How could it be? So Hashem said back to him, Amarle, say me itztagnina shelcha she'ein mazel Yisrael. So Hashem said to him, that's what it means, Vayotze also achutze, he took him outside doesn't just mean he took him outside of the house. It means he took him outside of the arrangement of the world. He said, "You're not influenced by that. Ain mazel Yisrael. It doesn't matter. It's true that you were born under the sign that you were born under. The arrangement that you were born under would dictate that you should not be able to have a child. But it doesn't affect you because ain mazel Yisrael." So this is what, generally speaking, this is the accepted opinion. This is the accepted opinion that we hold ain mazel Yisrael. Ain mazel Yisrael. Even though it's a machlok we just saw, there are two opinions in the Gemara. In other words, you have Rabbi Chanina and you have Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, but Rabbi Yochanan and Rav were the dominant opinions in the Gemara, and therefore that their opinions are what holds, and therefore we say ain mazel Yisrael, that there is no mazel. But again, just to remember what Rashi said, what that means is that there's no mazel, meaning that that not that there is no such thing as mazel, but rather that's not the last word. That's not the last word. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, a person being mispalel, and a person could have schusim, a person could do mitzvahs, and he'll have schusim, and he'll change around who he is and what he's about. Yes?
Question. So when Avram went and looked at the stars, was he committing an avera?
So, no. It sounds like he wasn't. Or Hashem didn't have that time to him. This, I guess, was the chiddush. In other words, he wasn't doing an avera, because there's validity to that. And it wasn't, you're right, it wasn't considered an avera.
According to the draft,
yeah.
It
sounds like Reb Chanina held that wouldn't help.
It sounds.
Yeah. So it sounds like. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to know. But it sounds like that's what Reb Chanina held. That's what it sounds like. So that's what they say over. So anyway, yes, Kevin.
The Shul and Tzipori, as the astrological signs,
have those signs. Yeah.
So yeah. Obviously,
there was something to it. There was something to it. Okay. So now the question is, yeah, yes. Oh, so, okay, I can get that right now. Okay, very good. Very good question. So with this, so we have to see the Gemara, and I apologize again, I wasn't feeling well last night, so the sheets were not made in the normal manner, so you'll just have to trust me for some of these quotes. But we have the Gemara that says, this is a valid point, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim, and Daf Kuf Yudal Ramin Aleph, the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says that, it's on, where is it? It's on Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, I apologize. On Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Ein Sholim de Kildayim. The Gemara says that you're not supposed to ask Kildayim. Now, what are Kildayim? Kildayim were Goyim, right? The Chaldeans were Goyim. And they used to be like fortune tellers. They used to be fortune tellers. So the Gemara says you're not supposed to ask them for their opinions about things. Why not? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. It says in the Pasuk, Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha, which is a very broad concept that we have, that a person is supposed to walk with Hashem with Tamimus, meaning that a person is supposed to have faith. And a person is supposed to believe that whatever Hashem loves me and cares about me and wants what's good for me, and therefore whatever it'll be, I don't have to, why should I worry? So says the Gemara, Ein Sholem B'Childayim. So what does it mean exactly? What did these people do? So Rashi brings a couple of interpretations and says, he brings one shot that it was through some sort of sorcery that they did it. So Rashi said, but that can't be, because if that was true, what do you need the Gemara to tell you this? That's a pasuk in the Torah. You're not supposed to do that. Right? So what do you need? What do you need this Gemara? Ani shamati, says Rashi, chozen b'kolchavim, v'chein iker. Rashi says that what this means is the people that look at the stars. In other words, that what they're doing is not wrong. What they're doing is not wrong. But nevertheless, a person is not supposed to investigate matters that way, because Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. Okay, so therefore, in other words, in general, even if we are to say that there's legitimacy to this, which it seems from the Gemara, that there is legitimacy to this. But nevertheless, a person, the Chazal was saying that you're not supposed to spend your days investigating this. A person should go with the attitude that Hashem is watching over me, Tam Tim Hashem Elokecha, that's all. That I'm not worrying. But the Mefarshim point out, the Mefarshim on this Gemara point out that what the Gemara means to say is that you're not supposed to do it, but that doesn't mean that it's usur to listen to them. In other words, if someone comes over to you, let's just say, somebody would come over and say, well, I'm telling you that based on this, it looks like today a bad thing is going to happen to you. Come on, son. Right? So stay in bed. No. Take out a tillum. Take out a sitter. And daven. Right? In other words, we would not say that ain't sholin the kildayim means that you can't listen to that. Don't that's nonsense. That's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is not saying it's nonsense. The Gemara is saying, that you have to have faith in Hashem. So don't spend your days. You know, you see, it always amazes me. You walk in the biggest cities. You walk in Midtown Manhattan, the most, you know, the fanciest and wealthiest areas of business, and you go on the side streets. You know, you walk right off of Fifth Avenue, right? And you go on the side streets, and you have tarot readers and palm readers, and you see the signs all over the place. It's the biggest business district in the world. You know, billions of dollars are being, excuse me. Sorry. We'll under the weather. Thank you. Billions of dollars are being transacted in this place, and they're all interested in palm readers.
They're not going there.
They're not going there? I don't know. The real estate is pretty expensive. What's that? The tourists are going there. Okay, I'm not so sure. Okay, could be. I hope you're right. Yeah, go ahead.
Somewhere in the Gemara,
thank you very much.
It says that you should not go to these magicians and magicians.
Correct.
Not because it's false, but because you shouldn't go there. Somewhere
around the right. So well, there are several subcommunities. There's one that says, oh, I'm owning in the culture. You shouldn't go to them. So some of it is, in other words, the basic idea is that even if it has validity, but you're not supposed to, that's not what a person should be preoccupied with. A person should go with faith. But what's being said over here is, though, on the other hand, but if you would hear such a thing, you don't have to ignore it. In other words, you don't say, that's nonsense. That a person, of course, this only applies by somebody who knows what they're talking about. Today, we probably don't have anybody that is capable of doing this because the world, the secular world turned away from it. The Jewish world was never heavily into it, and the secular world turned away from it. So therefore, today, it's basically just relegated to the back pages of the newspaper where they have these types of little gimmicks that they throw in. Thank you. Okay. So anyway, but the point is that this is the idea. So now returning to the bracha of Mazel Tov, right? So perhaps it would seem that what you're saying is that it should be, being that we still would say that there is mazel in the world. Right, that their mazolos do affect the world, so therefore it would come out that you're saying to a person that there should be a mazel tov. That's what, in other words, that this thing should be the mazel tov. We'll soon see more about this. Now, it happens to be, how does it play out by us today in the world? So, if you turn over the page here, so the Rambam is well known being a great rationalist. The Rambam not a believer in any of the what we would call supernatural type of things. So the Rambam says that who is considered, it's Ezehu Ma'onein. The Torah says there's a person that you're not supposed to be like, who's called a Ma'onein. Says the Rambam, Elu Nosnei Ha'itim. These are the people who give times. Sha'omrim, that they say, Bistagninus Yom Ploni Tov, Yom Ploni Ra, that they say through astrology that today is going to be a good day, today is going to be a bad day. Yom zeh, yom ploni ra'i l'asas v'malocha, shana plonis, or chodesh ploni, ra'ladavar ploni, that this month is bad, this month is good. The Rambam says this is all nonsense. Not only is it nonsense, but it's forbidden. This is called ma'onin. So says the Rambam. Now, what does he do with these gemaras? So it's hard to know. It's hard to know unless you say that he holds that ein mazal Yisrael means it has no bearing at all. Perhaps. So it's not clear what the Rambam holds. However, the Rambam is not the only opinion. The Ramban, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef, so the Ramban says as follows. The Ramban says there's a long tshuva in the Ramban, and basically he goes through and he says no, that there really is validity. He takes the Gemara the way we have it, and he says that he first quotes the Rambam that we just read, who says that this is usur. But then he says that he quotes the Gemara in Psachim that we learned, that says that the Kildayim, right, he says that they were chosen b'kochavim, okay, and he says, so you see that that's not what Ma'onein is, right? Because Rashi, in other words, when Rashi said, when the Gemara says, ain shalom b'kildayim, so you're not supposed to do it. So Rashi said it maybe means the magicians. So Rashi said it can't be that, because that you don't need the Gemara to tell you that. The Torah specifically says that, right? So must be something else. Must be the stargazers, okay? So which is mashma that you're not supposed to do it because tamim tiyam Hashem Elokecha, but that doesn't mean that it's an isser in the Torah. That just means that you shouldn't, by nature, a person shouldn't do that. But in the reality, if a person, you know, would hear something from them, then he could take it seriously. So in fact, this is what, even though the Gemara Yosef brings down in this very simon, so he brings down Almasha Nagu Shelo Lisa Noshim Ela B'Miwi Halavana. He quotes it, right? The author of the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Karo, quotes this myth, who would only get the Milui Halavana, who's coming to be the full moon, or when the moon is growing in size. Okay? Shekasafti b'shem Ramban, right? She'eno nichush. This is not considered superstition. Ela k'shem shemoshkin malachim al hamayon the timshach malchuso. He says that the Ramban said an interesting thing. The minhag was that when they would anoint the Jewish kings, so they would anoint them by the river, by a stream. And the symbolism was that the same way a stream flows, so too this king should flow, his dynasty should flow. It should not just be him, but it should continue to his children, and so forth, and that it should be productive, and so forth. So this was a practice that they used to do. So says the Ramban, that's not superstition. That's a symbolism. In other words, there's a difference between saying that this is going to have a direct impact or saying that it's like symbolic, like it's like a, you know, the same way this is happening, so too this should happen as well. So same way the river is flowing, so too Shetim Shech Malchuso. So says the Beis Yosef that therefore the same idea with getting married at the beginning of the month, it's like a symbolic type of thing. The Simona Tovahu, and it's considered a not an omen, but rather it's considered like a nice gesture, like it's a symbolic thing that okay, that the same way this is the same way the moon is getting larger, so too your Klal Yisrael and your Mishpacha should grow larger. It's a symbolism. It's not a hard fact that okay, this is going to determine it because we're getting married at this time, so that's going to make it that that could be would be wrong if that was the attitude. But rather, the attitude is it's just a symbolic thing. So therefore, when we say you know that the thing should be you give people a bracha, b'shah tovah, mitzlachas, all these types of brachas that everything should take place at the time of. At the right time, Shah Tovah Mitzlachas, I say over a story, I once saw this, that, you know, the custom is, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah, that you're supposed to, when a wedding takes place, so the chuppah should be under the sky. So in wedding halls, so very often some people make the chuppah outside, but a lot of times they have a skylight or something that they open up so that the room is made with a skylight. So technically the chuppah is taking place there. So I saw this myself once, but they say that one time they came to the chuppah and they couldn't get it open. And the chassan lekal was standing already under the chuppah, and the thing was they pushed the button or whatever, it wasn't opening, it was jammed. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Zichrono Lebracha, was the Masada Kedushin, he was the Rav that was standing there, and the chassan lekal getting all anxious and upset, this is ruining our wedding, what's going on? So he said, he tried to calm them down, he said, listen, when you got engaged, everyone said to you that the wedding should be b'shua tovo mitzlachas. So he said, apparently that time hasn't come yet. In other words, that time is going to come in a minute. When they get it open, that's the Shah Tov Mitzlachas. So that's why right now, Hashem made it that they can't get it open because it's supposed to be at a good time, and it's going to be at a good time, but that good time is 1 minute from now. So just take it easy. It's a good thing that this is happening. So I guess they got it open. I sure hope so. Yeah. I think they're still standing there. So. I mean, anyway, the point just is that there are certain things that people do more as a symbolism. That's what I think that Beis Yosef is saying. That's a symbolism. But even in terms of saying that there should be a good mazel, so there is such a thing. There is such a thing, and according to Rashi's Pshat and most of Rishonim, that even when we say Ein Mazel Yisroel, it doesn't preclude that. In other words, Ein Mazel Yisroel means that it could all be changed, and Hashem ultimately watches over the Klal Yisroel, and therefore the same way, you know, Hashem said to Avram, you know, big deal, who cares what it says in the stars? I could change that. I could change that. So too, through Torah and Mitzvahs and Schusim and Tefillah, things could be changed. But the fact is that there is such a concept, it's not so relevant to us, because we today have no idea how to interpret these things. But nevertheless, the idea itself, which we find in the Chumash, and you find sometimes in the Tefillahs, you find in the various Tefillahs for Geshem, and Tau, if you ever, this part that nobody says, right, the pages that everyone skips, if you ever looked into those pages, you'll see that it has to do with the signs of the Zodiac, all these things, right? There is such a concept. So it's interesting to know. We don't have much shaykhus to it, but it does have a place in Judaism, but certainly not the stuff that's in the newspapers, which has no place in anything.